You are now listening to the Geek Bro Network. Check out geekbro.net. That's how geeking is done.
Hi, this is Pedro, the big old fucking nerd.
Hello there, this is Kenny. I am the under to your score.
Hey, this is Q, your one-stop shop for all things Harry Potter, and you are now listening to The Talking Geek. Ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to The Talking Geek, your part talk, part sass, all things geek podcast, that we are a member of the Geek Bro Network alongside an enormous amount of podcasts. So just make sure you check them out at geekbro.net. There's so many.
So many. You'll find something you like.
Yes, definitely. There's something for everyone, and they're constantly adding more and more podcasts, which is why I'm no longer going through the list of them, and I'm just going to direct you to their website. So that you can just check them out for yourself. But there really is something for everyone.
Yes.
And we've all some way, shape, or form, especially me, I've crossed over and been at least on one episode of most of their other podcasts.
Yeah, you're like Iron Man.
I am Iron Man. I'm like, I do little pop-ups in random podcasts.
No, that would make you the Stan Lee.
I am the Stan Lee of the Geek Bro Net. I have two, I think, episodes of two podcasts of theirs that I have not been on, but I've even been on Shiver. And that
you
says
were on
a lot. I was on Shiver for The Haunting of Hill House.
Good episode.
More than Stan Lee. That is Iron Man then. Iron Man actually has talked. Talking lines more than just one line.
Yeah. So we are doing our end of the year best and worst geek moments of 2018. And I do not want to have a rhyme or reason to this because, well, we don't usually have a rhyme or reason to any of our things. I kind of want to just go talking amongst different things and things that we thought were really, really epic. Of course, as my memory usually serves me, I'll probably remember some of the more recent stuff first and then have to be reminded of all the other things.
Guys, ladies, 2018 was a long fucking year.
It was.
There's so much to think about.
The Winter Olympics were at the beginning of this year, guys.
That's right. Yes,
yeah.
They were.
Yeah, how fucking long it feels.
Oh my God.
Black Panther came out this year. You know what I mean?
That I remember. The Olympics was just like, we did have a fucking Olympics.
Yeah, we had an Olympics. It's just been a shit long year. And it's weird because for me, the beginning of the year went at the correct pace.
Yeah.
I thought that like the first like 3 months of the year was like, yeah, this is cool. I can do this. And then I don't know what happened after like March or April. It just flew. Yeah. Just flew for me.
The foot fell on the accelerator and it didn't stop.
And that was it. And it didn't stop. So, yeah, we're just going to do best and worst, both together and doesn't really matter.
It's going to be kind of free form.
It's been, in the geek movie world, it's been an epic year, I think. I think that they nailed Marvel.
Marvel landed. Like,
Marvel
really
landed in every movie that they dropped this year.
I haven't seen Ant-Man and Wasp. How was that?
It wasn't bad. It was decent. Let's just put it that way.
That's at the bottom of the totem pole in 2018.
In a year that did not have Black Panther and Infinity War, how would it have landed?
I still think it would have landed in the same place. I almost feel like that movie was an afterthought and that it needed to do what that. Okay, so that movie was a plot device to get to where we're getting to in Avengers Annihilation.
So I kind of feel like the first Ant-Man was also a plot. I feel like these are plot device movies that are literally put in just to get a way out of Endgame.
Yes, but Ant-Man, the original, was more entertaining. So I watched... So like where Ant-Man, for me, was very much also like a plot device so that we can have this character when we need him and stuff like that, it was an entertaining movie that I've seen more than once and enjoyed it every single time that I've watched it. For me, as per usual, Paul Rudd is the only thing. In Ant-Man and Wasp, Paul Rudd is the only saving grace. And I won't rewatch Ant-Man and Wasp. Well, I'll still rewatch the original Ant-Man. Yeah. Like, I will still go back and watch that.
It was a good heist movie. I honestly think that if it wasn't part of the actual phases, it would actually have done very well. Ant-Man by itself was done very well. Ant-Man and Wasp, really, it reminded me a lot of Thor Dark World, where it was just no one cared, really, until the very end. When he goes into the quantum realm, and then all of a sudden, now he can't get out because everybody's
stuck.
Dead.
My problem with that movie...
yeah.
My problem with that movie was shitty writing. And like... oh my God, we've got this problem. But long and behold, did you know that in my pocket I have the exact solution that we need for this problem? Oh, long and behold, look, did you know that we made this exact little cube that you've never heard of before, but it's going to save this particular scene in this particular moment?
Yeah.
It did a lot of that.
Very comic booky writing, which
yes,
is why you can't
yes.
which is why you cannot have comic books directly transferred to film, because
no.
comic books can be and usually are very stupid.
Yes,
and
they
I
are.
Love comic
and
books.
I'm and so do I. But I know what I'm getting into, and with yes. the movies and the way that movies have gone now, I expect you to change that.
Yeah.
I expect you to keep some of it yes. in little moments that I go, ah, that's the comic book
it's
moment.
Flavor.
Right. Exactly. It's like seasoning. You just sprinkle a little bit, and then, but the rest of it is, and I didn't think that they did that with Ant-Man and Wasp. Still love Paul Rudd. I will always forever love Paul Rudd, but they didn't even do that good of a job with his sidekick that's always...
Wasp. Oh, no.
No,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
His heist sidekick.
Shit,
I didn't remember
that
dude's name.
Yeah, the writing
something
was...
Something Pena. Michael Pena?
Michael Pena? I want to say this, but he yeah. didn't even have his epic moments like he did. He has, like, one, and they give him, because they give him truth serum, and, like, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be his epic...
His ridiculous
his,
moment.
His ridiculous moment, and it was... But even not to the extent that the first movie had done.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was good. Nah, nothing crazy. But yes, this is the year of Infinity War and Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yep.
Both of those are very monumental for very different reasons.
Yes.
Black Panther is one of the few movies that, like, going into it, like, I expected, like, this is going to be good. Like, everything coming off of it, I'm like, I think I know what they're doing. Or I think they know what they're doing. And
right.
It
did.
It was everything that it should have been. And it was... Beautiful. Fuck, what a great-looking fucking movie.
No, great. The acting was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Of course, nothing for me in the world of Marvel, and as a Marvel fangirl, I thoroughly acknowledge that. Infinity War. Like, Infinity War was just the thing we've been waiting years for, and then didn't give us the answers I thought it was going to. And that was even more epic.
It was great. Just the like one of the greatest set of blue balls to be left after a fucking movie. Oh,
yeah.
Just like, I mean, I find it interesting when you have movies where the bad guy wins.
But yes.
You don't really expect that from a comic book movie. And they kind of did it twice within the same phase. They did it with Civil War and they did it here.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the difference was here. The consequences were way worse.
And yeah. and then also with a villain, this is also a villain that for me personally, having watched all the movies of the phases, I expected to thoroughly hate him. You've been waiting for this moment and all this other stuff, and then at the ripe age of 34, I'm like, he's not wrong. I mean, he's going about it the
yeah.
wrong way.
I see what you're
but
doing.
But I see what you're doing. And I kind of agree with you. Like, I know this year there's a bunch of times I would have wanted to snap my fingers and make half the people disappear.
Yeah. Well, this was also, Killmonger was also another, again, where, like, I get where you're coming from. Not the best way to do it, but
right,
I
but
understand.
I get what you're coming from, which I had yeah. not really had a lot of moments with in previous villains in Marvel movies.
Yes.
There was always, we've talked about all of them. Iron Man didn't always have the best villains, you know, other
we
movies.
We have a Rushmore. I believe one of the only ones that I've been on for
oh,
the
yes.
Geekmore Network.
When we did the Geekmore, yeah.
We did the worst Marvel villains.
Yeah, you see. So,
most boring.
Jesus Christ.
You could just retitle it as most boring.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. But what was good about Infinity War, and also just tying it back to Black Panther, was it was one of those unique things where I saw Infinity War first before Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And even still watching Avengers, you can, and seeing the actual characters from Black Panther, all of them together, it's almost like you didn't really have to worry too much about knowing their characters, even though it's great when you actually watch the movie.
That's sort of the difficulty with something like Infinity War, and the genius of the slow burn way of filmmaking of, like, okay, everybody's had their own individual movies, so it's sort of like, okay, you know who everybody is, right? You know
yeah.
who he is, you know who they're, okay. Now yeah. let's just let them go and do their thing. You already kind of know what they can do, and just let them move the plot
right.
forward.
No, it was great. It added layers that you didn't need to for the Avenger movie, although at the end of Infinity War, now we're just waiting for this
yeah.
for this to eclipse.
Well, they had the hardest thing is they had to make Thanos a character. And so with the amount of time they spent you getting to know Thanos,
It's an origin story. Yeah.
It made him interesting.
No, it did. It made him extremely interesting.
Yeah.
And like I said, and slightly relatable in a way that you feel this was the first villain that I felt bad for. Yeah. That I literally went, wow, you went through some shit, which made you, like, it wasn't you waiting, you know, like, my biggest issue with Iron Man 3, which was the villain being pissed off because he got, you know, stood up for pussy. Like, I'm sorry. I stand up people I love for pussy, so I don't really know why you're taking so offense.
That's why you're more Tony than you are that guy, because you've done fucked up shit. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you look at that and you're citing more Tony, then you're like, yeah, well, you want to cause some fucking problems. You're lucky nobody started a fucking weapons company to fucking take you out.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
If somebody had the power, you would have been like extremist.
However, a good low moment from that, because we're talking about Infinity War, was... Wasn't Justice League coming out this year? Didn't Justice League come out this year as well?
Wait, did Justice League come out this year or was it last year?
No, I thought it was last year. Thought Justice League was last year.
I literally don't even... Oh, it was because it was like November of last year?
Was it November?
Yeah, I think it was.
How fucked is that? Like, no joke, it's like no, yeah, us this is like nerds and people who like love DC characters. Like, I love Batman and Harley and fucking Green Lantern.
Yeah, but no, I want to say it was the end of last year. I want to say that their DC movies that dropped this year... was
Aquaman
very recently. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Aquaman just dropped this month.
Yeah.
Last week while we're recording, dropped last week.
Did they put anything else out? How much of a failure?
Yeah, you're right. It was November last year.
It was November last year. That's how long this felt like
of last year.
But like, also, it's like how fucked do you have to be where you can't even get some of the most popular characters in the world and get them to get people to show out for a movie like that? Like.
Well, I mean, Aquaman, at this point that we're recording right now, Aquaman has already blown the sales of Justice League in the box office. Yep.
I've heard it's supposed to be pretty fun. I've heard it's really dumb. But
I've heard it's. I heard they are trying to suck the Marvel penis so hard and fall flat. Because they clearly went Thor Ragnarok, trying to be comedic, and also with the colors and the way that they were going. And that there's going to be several moments that you're going to go, really? That's where you went with this, like, really? And that they failed in that aspect. And I also see it as, you're DC. You're known, and you rock the, I'm going to be a very dark and gloomy movie. And now you realize that you need to incorporate some sort of comedy into something and life into it. You don't go from 0 to 100 in just one movie. You bring it in gradually. It's how I expect you to do it. And what I've heard from most people is that they went with Aquaman and they went from 0 to 100 and we're going to be the most colorful and cheesy and comedy later on.
And I see why they had to do that, because Aquaman is such a fucking character that everybody doesn't take seriously.
Right.
And who normally looks so self-serious. They kind of had to do a Thor Ragnarok with it because they're just like, he's too fucking po-faced and like... We need to make his world... We need to make people kind of care about it. How do you make it care? It's like, make it look visually sumptuous at the very least, even if it's fucking stupid.
I mean, they even started with that in Justice League where the lines that they gave him were not serious.
You know, he's like a Hawaiian bro, and I'm kind of okay with that because, I mean, Jason Momoa is like a Hawaiian, and he looks... Bro.
And it's amazing because of the...
It feels right, at least
in this case. Yeah, no, it does. It does. I mean, I'm not... I am in no rush to go and see it. Like Vanessa and I were talking about movies to go see, and there was plenty of other movies that we wanted to see prior to that.
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, like, no, it's literally the one. And even she asked for that, which is, I was just like, you're asking for a geek movie. I'm all about it. Let's do it. But I don't need to be in a rush to go see that. And I'm sure that most of the reason, I hate to be this type of person, but find the lie in my upcoming statement. I guarantee you a good chunk of the people who bought tickets to go see Aquaman don't give a flying shit about DC.
Yes.
They don't know who the fuck Aquaman is.
Yes.
They just want to see Jason Momoa naked or shirtless and wet.
Yes.
And so therefore...
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Also,
the chick who plays Mara.
She's
fine
as
fuck.
That's Amber Heard, right?
Amber Heard, with the exception of the terrible Ariel wig that she has on. Like, that made me
so
depressed. That depressed
me
because the rest of it's so fucking hot.
I know, but it's so bad.
It's a bad wig.
It really is bad. It's bad. It's just bad. And then you should know better than this by this point. So,
but I'll take this kind of inoffensive bad over the offensive bad of almost everything else that DC has put out.
I agree with you, with the exception of Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is the only thing that's landed 100%.
But for me, at least. Yeah, but I mean, like...
100%
what
landed.
What DC should learn between Aquaman and Wonder Woman is that women run the world. And if you put things in the movie that are going to make women interested in it, they will go out and see it, and they will go with their boyfriends, and then they will go see it a second time with all of their girlfriends.
It's almost like there's it's almost like women are 51% of the population.
Almost.
And
I know, right? You would, It's like that's why Twilight lasted for so long.
The irony.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the reason.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But that's the thing is that with Wonder Woman, you know, they were going with the fact that, you know, Gal Gadot is very attractive, and guys would, even guys that weren't into the DC or into the geek, that kind of geekdom, would come to see it.
Yeah.
And women also would come, like, knowing the actual character, not the origin of Wonder Woman, but knowing Wonder Woman, like, the actual pop culture reference. Yeah, people, that's the reason why it did so well, and I wish that DC would have realized that then, that that's how they should have started from the beginning.
That really should have been their, I mean, maybe it is. Well, it seems like they're going away from the whole shared universe thing, because whatever, that's a choice, not a great choice.
Yeah.
But looking at Wonder Woman, they should have looked at that and been like, oh, that's the tone we need to hit, because Wonder Woman balances being serious and having hope.
Yeah.
You don't even need to be super funny. I know people who don't like the fact that it's super funny, but you know what? These are about heroes. Heroes are supposed to give hope.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So going from some of the best stuff to some of the worst stuff. I got to say, I hate fans. I really do. I hate fandom. Fandom in general.
In general, yes.
Mostly because of Star Wars. Like the amount of vitriol that The Last Jedi has brought out of people has, like, honestly turned me off to the whole franchise. I'll still watch stuff, but like I don't have the passion anymore.
Well,
I'm
like
tired.
When we talked about it in one of our previous episodes, when we were talking about when we did, I think it was our Topic Thursday, and we talked about what the worst fandom was.
Yeah.
We were kind of all in agreement that it was Star Wars. Now, granted, I agreed with some of people's issues with The Last Jedi, but I do that as a non-Star Wars fan. I do that as just a person who's jumping into this and trying to get into this type of fandom and issues that I specifically had with it. But their level of hate, even I, who did not like Crimes of Grindelwald, don't go on this. Like, I said one thing once online, and I kind of slowed
down.
You don't go off. I don't go off. I didn't start unfollowing J.K. Rowling and, like, threatening her life. I just, you know, asked her to pass whatever she was smoking, because it's clearly good that she wrote such a horrible script. But, like, it's just, she wrote a bad script.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you.
She wrote a bad script.
I'm also just thinking of, like somebody had to have brought in, like, a script doctor, or somebody had to, like, whisper something in your ear, because none of that makes any fucking sense.
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's
it was
all fucked up.
And she's the sole writer, too. There wasn't anybody that was added on to that at the end of it?
Nope.
got credited.
Jesus. Nobody got credited. Now, but yeah, Star Wars can ruin a fandom, if you will. The fans are, look what they've done with people's Twitters and actors, and basically making people have to make actors delete their own shit because of the crap that they've said. So I will say that this year was a bad year for
fandom in general.
Fandom in general.
It's been a bad couple years for it. And this, I really feel that The Last Jedi was the culmination of that, because you have a lot of,
it's almost
I'll
like
try the, not, I'll yeah. try not to over politicize it, but you have one angle coming up and pushing against anything that is not one very, very specific way.
Right.
And then you just have the normal onward progression of
things.
Society and
yes.
interests and people, and they are loud enough where they're a small enough amount of people, and they just ruin everything for everybody else.
Yeah,
it's almost like reading. It's almost like they're fundamentalist Star Wars fans. That's what they are.
Yes, no.
If you don't stand by this, if it doesn't follow this formula, first off, they didn't like the fact that it was a carbon copy. The people that didn't like Force Awakens,
yeah,
didn't like the fact that it was a carbon copy of the original trilogy. And now that Last Jedi came out, those same people are upset that it's so far away from the actual.
They're sad that their fan fiction for the last, like, fucking 20 years didn't become reality. And it's just like, guess what, buddy? The Lucas never thought that was even canon in the beginning. Lucas literally had, like, three levels of canon. He had the movies, the cartoons, and the books. The books he did not give a fuck about.
Right. Yeah.
He never gave a fuck about any of these fucking fans. So when Disney bought it, Disney's like, no, we're actually going to make good fucking stories. Not to say they weren't good Star Wars books, but let me tell you, there was some varying quality in those things. And in general, those movies, while they definitely have problems,
they're very watchable, and I've enjoyed them as an old Star Wars fan.
I've enjoyed them as a new Star Wars fan. I have my qualms with them. There were certain things that I didn't like, but that's like any movie. And we've also gotten to the age where we're like really, we've all become critics, and we've all become, it's very much like what's happened in the true crime world where like everybody thinks they'd be the best juror because they know everything that's going on. Like, you know what I mean?
Is that a
like,
thing?
Yeah, that is a thing. Oh, it's totally a thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's totally a thing. And even even attorneys hate to hear anybody say like that they watch a lot of ID and that they like a lot and all of those stuff because it's so unrealistic to what actually the process is or what things or how things actually go. But we've all become overly critical about everything. You watch a movie and you now are comparing it to the source material. You're comparing it to this. And then why didn't, you know, like we're all doing that for everything. TV series. It's, I think, because of the social media world that everybody's working, looking for that word of mouth and that recommendation. Look, Bird Box just dropped. I haven't even seen it yet, but I know that everybody in my plot in my Facebook has, because the memes are ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
They don't even need to advertise anymore because we as a social market are the advertisers for these things.
Netflix is amazing at doing that.
It's just insane how they do that. And now Prime and every other streaming service has banked off of that as well, because you don't see a Handmaid's Tale commercial on TV. You see it if you already have Hulu. But if you don't have Hulu, you don't even know that that's a thing. You don't need to, because the whole world is talking about it the minute it pops out. And I think that that also leaves us with this idea that our opinion matters that much, that we can both bring people in to watch something and also not to.
Deter them.
Social media makes you think that your opinions matter.
Yes, basically. That's my quote of 2018.
And to be honest, the new age of the internet, because a lot of people now don't watch live TV anymore.
Yep.
So a lot of people, the majority of people have either Netflix, has Hulu, has Prime. So when you watch regular shows that you normally wouldn't catch, like for instance, if you wanted to watch like wrestling, for instance, if you wanted to watch what happened in SmackDown for that week, you literally go on Hulu, and as you're watching, it's like, oh, by the way, we have this coming up. We have this coming up. Here's a new season of this. And you go, oh, I heard somebody talk about that. And that's just another way that they grab people, because why do you need to broadcast it on live TV when
if you're not watching
it?
Well, I mean, how many times over the past like dozen of years have you been reading a Wikipedia page and you end up looking up one thing and then you end up having 12 fucking tabs?
Right.
Or on YouTube or any other page where you can like link out and fucking see shit. Like, they already know that, like, in our minds, that's what we do. We watch one thing, we see something shiny, we click on it, and we keep going. And if you have the content like a Netflix or a Hulu does, you don't need to tell anybody else about it, because, like Quills was saying, everybody's already talking about it.
Everybody's already talking about it. So I haven't even watched Bird Box. I purposely watched Bandersnatch first instead. I was like, y'all ain't talking about this, and this is...
Well, this also just dropped like 2 days ago. So.
It did, but it dropped recently within the same week, and nobody's talking about it not even anywhere near what Bird Box is, and this is a unique thing that nobody has done yet.
Yeah.
So,
Can we also talk the genius of dropping a Bird Box right before Christmas? Like,
I know, right?
Such... Like, again, sometimes I have to look at things and be like, that was smart. That was really fucking smart.
You know, people are home. You know, people have the time. And they're going to watch. I mean, in all honesty, everything did that. Because when I went to go choose a movie to go watch, there was literally a choice of like, there's 8 movies out that I want to watch right now. I literally want to watch Into the Spider-Verse. I want to watch The Favorite. I want to watch Mary Queen of Scots. I want to watch, there was like 2 other movies that are like also like kind of like not in all theaters, because Mary Queen of Scots is only showing in the beach and things like that. But that's a lot of movies just a month ago, there was literally nothing I wanted to see but Crimes of Grindelwald. It was like the only thing that had come out, and it was kind of like this lull. But I will say, this year's had a lot of sequels that we hadn't gotten. It was pretty good. You had Incredibles 2, Deadpool 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I still haven't seen Deadpool 2.
And I still haven't seen Ralph Breaks the Internet.
And I haven't seen Ralph Breaks the Internet, which I'm sad that I haven't seen.
No, it's funny, and especially there's definitely one segment, our fandom discussion earlier. There is a very small thing where Ralph reads the comments, and it's not.
And he's just upset.
It also has my favorite comment. I've been saying and retweeting this. Somebody just comments as he's looking at, why is he games? Why is he games with a Z ?
I did see Deadpool 2. I did see Incredibles 2. I have not seen Ralph Breaks the Internet. Deadpool 2 was a surprise for me, because of how emotional it was.
Really?
Yes.
There's a lot of feels in it?
Yes.
Yeah, more than the first one for sure.
Okay. And what do you think of Incredibles
2? For which? Incredibles 2?
Yeah. Oh.
I liked it. Yeah. Was it better than the first? No. No, well, definitely not.
I say it was the same as the first because it literally just continues that story.
Yeah, but I mean, in it does continue that story, but because it's a continuation of that story, it doesn't give you the pleasure of being introduced to this world, this pleasure of being introduced to these characters.
Right.
Jack makes the movie for me.
Oh, yeah. That
raccoon fight. Yeah. I can watch that on repeat.
Yeah.
The idea of Jack is great. He's Jack because he's a jack of all trades. That's why he has so many powers. That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, so Pixar still... I was more happy with Incredibles 2 than I was with Monster University. And giving me a sequel, it was better for me than Finding Dory, and I'm a Finding Nemo fanatic.
Yeah.
And so that says a lot.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like I enjoyed it. Maybe if I caught it on TV, maybe I might watch it one or two times more. It's not like all the other Pixar movies where I've seen Toy Story a bunch of times. I've seen Monsters Inc.
It's not the top tier. Or right. It's not even the top tier of the sequels because I love Toy Story 2 and 3 like almost as much as the first one.
I love Toy Story 2 almost as much as I love the first one. 3 it depends. I was talking earlier about how like I forgot where I was talking about this. Like sometimes you watch things at a certain time in your life and you didn't like it then, and then you watch it again in a later time in your life and you're like, oh, this is when it works.
Sorry, I just realized something. I finally saw a movie you've been trying to get me to watch.
What is it?
It's called Mac and Me.
You finally saw it?
You know how I saw how I saw it?
Was it Lindsay?
No. Well, I watched it with my girlfriend Lindsay, but we saw it because the most recent season of Mystery Science Theater 3000, which is really fucking good. It's only six episodes. The first episode is Mac and Me.
Oh shit.
It's terrible.
It is terrible.
But you know what? It's terrible but not unwatchable, and I could see how a kid would dig it, and it's I think you should watch the MST version of it because
yeah, no, the ending.
Fucking
no,
you're
talking about Mystery Science
Theater.
Listen to the shit that they say.
But did you see the end?
Fucking funny.
But did you see the end?
Oh yeah, no,
of him in the wheelchair.
Yeah, no,
and just like rolling down the hill.
It's fucking weird. But that is a weird fucking movie, and I understand. I understand everything that you said about it. The whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, now I know why she asked me to fucking.
Yeah,
watch
I wanted you to watch it for that exact same reason. I can't watch it now because if I watch it now, it's not going to be the same feeling it gave me when I watched that. But I feel like Toy Story 3 for me, like when I first watched it, I wasn't in the right mindset or headspace or as into it as I thought that I was. And I think that if I tried to rewatch it now, I might enjoy it a little bit better and understand its importance more.
Because like when I saw, I actually really like Monsters University because I went into it expecting Animal House and I got it.
Yeah.
So when I went into Toy Story 3 and I knew the plot of them getting stuck in the kindergarten, I was like, oh, it's the Great Escape.
Right.
Because it really is the fucking Great Escape with fucking
but
toys.
Towards the very end too.
Oh God.
Of all that, yeah.
Fucking Schindler's Toy Box.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. But yeah, so I didn't. But I enjoyed Deadpool 2. Yes, the feels in Deadpool 2 are serious. For me, they were. It was... When you watch it, you'll know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And they did... What I liked about Deadpool 2 is that they still gave me that raunchy, comedy, dirty...
It was sucio.
You know, rated R comic book. And with emotions I understand as an adult. Like, what... Wade is going through in this particular shit. I was like, first of all, what happens in the first 25 minutes is what sets the tone for the rest of it. And that first 25 minutes, you're like, what the flying fuck? This is not what I expected from Deadpool. And then what it does afterwards is even more interesting, which I'm actually interested because technically Fox owns Deadpool.
Well, technically, they own all the X-Men stuff.
They own that and not all the X-Men stuff or just a few.
No, they own all the X-Men stuff.
Now they do?
Not anymore of January.
Well, Fox did own all the X-Men stuff.
They did as of January. It is officially gone, and we get to play with it again.
We'll see how long it takes. I have a sneaking suspicion they're either going to introduce the Fantastic Four or X-Men
Endgame. I think they're going
to
do X-Men.
Well, I think they need to introduce the next big bad.
Yeah.
Because for the next couple phases, and that's going to be Galactus.
Be Doom? Oh, you're going to do Galactus.
Maybe they'll do Doom first, and then they'll lead into Galactus.
But Doom, make
good,
Doom
that's
right.
That's a good one, too.
That
do
is a
Doom
good one
right.
Too.
Don't make him like this guy wasn't... Yeah.
Remember, at this point... like
none of that happened.
I trust Disney to do it.
Yeah, I do. So do
I. They have earned, like, all right, I know you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you do this.
Yeah.
I want a dude in some fucking armor. I want him super arrogant
with a country to himself.
I want his own fucking country. In terms of other movies that I saw that I really loved this year, Isle of Dogs. Was
Isle
really
of Dogs,
good.
The animated one?
The animated one. Oh my God, what's the sad director? Burl Tannenbaum's.
Anderson?
Paul Thomas Anderson? PTA? I think it's PTA?
PTA.
Yeah, people call him PTA. That was really, really good. I love doggos, and that's a movie with animated doggos. So
I haven't seen it.
It's claymation. It's very funny.
That's pretty cool.
I think another kind of in the realm of what we were talking about, best of 2018, I will just say, is just streaming service stuff.
Yeah.
Streaming service stuff has just been knocking it out of the park and out of the park and out of the park, which makes it you need regular cable television less and less and less and less because you're finding more entertaining stuff in your streaming services.
So the stuff that you watch, how many of it is on either basic cable or on normal TV?
Me?
Because I know for you, Manifest is new for you.
Yes.
And Magicians.
Correct. Those are the only two things.
Not counting Game of Thrones because
that's premium cable. Premium
cable,
and I can get that on a streaming service
too,
which I have. I have that as well. And I have Showtime on my streaming service. So, but the things that I watch on regular TV is The Magicians and Manifest. And Manifest, I get on Hulu. I don't even watch it on the TV.
I'm
not watching it. Well, I'm watching it live. No, well, because they drop it the night that it comes out on TV.
Oh, so it's that.
So I get it right.
No, that doesn't count anymore because you're watching it instead of watching it live. You're watching it when it starts streaming.
Yeah, The only thing I watch on TV that I have to be home for when this comes out and blah, blah, blah is Magicians. So come January 23rd or 29th, I will be back in front of my TV on Wednesdays and able to do anything else.
Yeah, it used to be The Walking Dead, and then we slowly just Homer Simpson walked away.
Yeah,
into
I was about
the
to say. Did you Homer Simpson or did you Father Simpson walk in, put your hat, turn back around, pick up your hat and leave?
I did Father Simpson. I did Father Simpson.
It's like Bill Burr with the curling. You just let it go. It just keeps going. And it goes away.
But with things like Haunting of Hill House and
shit,
if those of you who are listening, Bandersnatch, with the idea of a concept of having a choose your own adventure movie is
pushing
epic.
The medium forward.
Yeah. So with all of that, I think that streaming services have really, really just, it's gotten to the point where before it was like one of those things like, oh, you can't live without a computer, right? Like, oh, you can't live without this, you know? Mm-hmm. Now it's like you almost can't vibe and be current with events if you don't have a Netflix or an Amazon Prime
or
something
Hulu,
to that effect.
So if you think about it, like, even if you don't get Amazon Prime, which unfortunately that's also becoming has been almost necessary just with how Amazon takes everything over.
Right.
If you get basic memberships to Hulu and Netflix, that's only like $15, $16 a month, which is way the fuck cheaper than ordering anything. And then even then, if you add Amazon Prime on top of that, you're paying about like, you know, you're adding like an extra $100 or like another like $8 or $9 a month.
$8 or $9 a month.
But you're also getting, you know, all the bonuses that come with
you
Amazon.
You have free movies. You have a whole bunch of shit. So, and you still have the same capability of, look, on Amazon Prime,
cheaper,
I can rent movies like I do on cable television. With Hulu, I watch shows that are on cable television on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And I play the basic. I actually like that I get commercials because once I watch it late at night, it lets me fall asleep. Like, commercials help me break it up, and then I'll go back and be like, okay, I didn't finish this episode. Let me catch it from here. But I can watch a whole fuck ton of shit. Just by doing that, there's a few apps on streaming services that are beneficial if you have cable, like the History Channel. If you have cable, it's the free app you have on your, instead of having to pay. And so there's certain things, but I would rather pay $35 a month for Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime, right? And know that there's always going to be something I want to watch than spend $250 on a cable box and be sitting in front of the TV searching through 500 channels to try and find something I'm into.
It's not even $35 a month, too, for all three.
No, it's not. No.
That's the genius behind it, where, like, no, that's
you're not
less.
Even paying. That's me telling you, you've got the best Hulu option.
Right.
That's accounting for maybe a $10 budget to rent two movies on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And, like, that aspect of it, I watch everything. And now it's almost to the point I watch it so much that I'm like, I'm running out of things to watch, guys. I need you to speed up your boosting. Like, I'm watching random things now. I've watched every documentary on World War II. I have watched every Hitler, anything. I've seen it. And now
watch
I'm going.
Lost.
I should give Watch.
Now,
you should give Lost a chance.
Rewatch Lost with the because
with my mindset now with Manifest.
Well, not just with Manifest, but remember what? So we were talking off the mic for one of our other podcasts for Brunch of the Dragons that don't approach Lost for the overall story. Look at it for the character. Because seriously, like that overall story, like I love Lost. That overall story is fucking insane. Yeah, it makes no fucking sense.
Best one, real quick, Locke.
Oh, Locke is my
favorite
character.
Locke was by far the best character.
Yeah, we had talked about that.
How those characters grow are what make that show really, really good. And the actors' performances, I fucking love. So.
And the crazy part about it right now is with Pluto TV, with GS, with the GS Network, with different... Now there's other streaming online. Like, for instance, Disney Geek Plus. And Sundry, Critical Role.
Yep.
These are now getting more... They're getting popular and they're growing throughout that. Again, it's just now it's not only the big three... Now it's all these other ones that are starting to siphon away from live TV. That's why live TV is holding on to all the people that watch basic cable for
as
dear life.
As much as possible.
Yeah, that's why they spend as much as they can to try to keep the people there, especially during the weekend set.
And AMC's fucking up, man. They're not making up for it. It looks like I think next year we'll have American Gods back. I think is that AMC or is that Showtime?
No.
No, so that's HBO or Showtime. It's one of those.
That's one of those.
Oh, okay, so yeah, they don't even have that.
Nope. Which, by the way, Amazon Prime is going to have Good Omens.
Oh, and
the preview
that's right,
for
yes.
that looks so dope.
Oh, my God. That book is fucking great.
So looks so dope.
All right, so
and also Lord of the Rings.
The new Lord of the Rings
show.
Which I don't know how to feel about that because it's supposed to be all prequel, which...
It's all the writings of the sun.
I mean, honestly, and, if there's elves in it, if there's elves in a queue, is going to give
it
a chance.
Oh, no, I'm going to watch it because I love Lord of the Rings.
That's why I'm also watching that Pixar movie that's only about elves. It's totally Onward.
Oh,
I'm totally watching
that. It's Pixar.
It's
so
Pixar, and it's elves, and it's Chris Pratt. I'm watching that.
Yeah. All right, so we go from all the watching. So let's talk a little bit about like how the year was for like video games.
Yes,
and stuff.
Sure, let's do it because there was some epic stuff that happened with video games, which, by the way, those of you listening that know that I've been having this gripe with video games and my inability to have time. I will now have time because I now have it in my room, which means that in the middle of the night when my insomnia kicks in, I will play all the games and not wake up the wife because I bought headphones. I'm doing this correctly. So now I own Spider-Man. I'm playing God of War, and I have Witcher.
Witcher, it didn't come out this year, but let me tell you, I love me some fucking Witcher, if you remember from me playing it a couple years ago.
Yes, yeah.
But Spider-Man, I fucking love it. That, by far the best Spider-Man game. Arguable, maybe the best Spider-Man story done on a visual medium.
Right.
Definitely more than the movies.
Yeah.
Definitely better than the other games. Actually, the biggest surprise for me was a fucking good Resident Evil game. A really fucking good Resident Evil.
This last one that came out.
Resident Evil 7. They switched it to a first-person perspective.
Which is great.
So you remember a couple years ago I played PT for you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's basically that.
Okay.
They basically did PT and it's in like a fucked up Louisiana swamp house.
Okay.
And you're first person going through like this weird fucked up grindhouse kind of situation. It's scary as shit. It plays in...
Is it like Dead Island?
No. Okay. No, it's not heavily action oriented. It's actually like they did a really good job of balancing the fact that it's a Resident Evil game, so you kind of suck at combat, but also, you know, keeping the fear.
The puzzle situation while you have a looming
puzzles,
horde.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, now I have to find this key on the opposite side of the house. And I walk to the house and, oh, God, weird mold monster. Oh, yeah. Fuck. It was really good, and I was not expecting there to actually be a fucking good Resident Evil game ever again, much less, you know, with this one.
Right. God of War won Best Game of the Year.
A lot of people
did.
And I'm currently in the midst of it. I unfortunately made the mistake of not playing after a long time and got my ass handed to me and had to lower the...
The difficulty
because I was getting my ass handed to me. And so I will... But it allowed... the beauty of it is that I can change the difficulty at any point in the game and then it'll go
That's
right
awesome.
Back to it. So... I'm loving it so far. As a God of War player, it is very different from the God of Wars that I have been accustomed to, which was I'm a sucker for change, so it took me a little bit of time. But all in all, the graphics are great. I'm loving the story so far. The fighting style is awesome, which has really been the direction that most of these games have been leaning towards with that way of fighting, that rapid and like swirl. It's the same thing that happened in Arkham. It's the same thing that Shadows of Mordor was doing. It's the same thing that Spider-Man has done. God of War is doing as well. And kind of God of War always had a way of doing it, but that pan view that they used to have in God of War changed the feel of that style of fighting.
Like the perspective change made it seem like more like one little guy,
right.
giant beast.
Right, exactly, where this is a little bit more intense in that aspect.
More
personal. I've always loved Kratos, so this is just another way of me loving Kratos. I did play about the first... I was only allowed to play the first 5 minutes of Spider-Man. Well, I wasn't allowed, but I only did.
But you knew.
I was being a smart wife at that point. I was like, I could play this, and then we could fight. Or I could love you, and I can just play 5 minutes.
Or I could love the fact that I don't want to fight. I'm going to pick that option.
Yeah, so I did play the first 5 minutes just because I waited forever for my PS4 to download everything I needed to download and do all the updates I needed to do. And loved it. I was unsure when I first saw Peter Parker's face. I was like, that doesn't look like all the Peter Parkers I know.
It's a fusion of all the Peter Parkers.
Okay.
If you look at him, it literally takes aspects of every single actor that has played Peter Parker.
Okay, good. I was like, but it was so fast because it's just in the beginning and then he immediately pulls on the mask. And I was like, but even Vanessa was watching, because Vanessa was watching it with me. And she was just like, is that him? And then the beauty of the graphics of this game is... Right after he jumps out the window to do all of this, there was a moment where Vanessa goes, is that you or is that the story? And I literally said, I don't know. I think it's me.
That's
and
great.
Then my web fell and I was like, no, it's me. That's me. I got to swing, which is how great
yes.
the graphics are that my wife and me. I was like, my controller is vibrating. I'm pretty sure that means that it's me, but I'm not sure. That was just an epic job in that aspect of doing that. So Spider-Man's great. I'm excited for Witcher. I really also picked it up because I want to know more of the story so that when Henry Cavill's the Witcher, I'm like, I know why you're doing this. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie.
I love Witcher so fucking much. That's another world. I fell into that world so fucking hard.
Well, like, not only you, but Shannon, if you're listening to this, I know you fell into the Witcher world.
Shannon. No, she's still in. What are you talking about?
She's still in there.
She's still in there. She hasn't left.
Yeah.
She replayed... the original Dragon Age, I want to say 8 or 9 times.
Nice.
Wow.
Because, I mean, granted, there are a lot of different ways to change it, but...
Still.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot of fucking times.
Yeah.
And I actually am now in the gaming community, with regards to video gaming, because now I have an Xbox One.
Welcome to new times.
Well, I'm back. The last horse that made it across the finish line. But with that, I actually got a bunch of different games now that... One is Life is Strange. I also picked up Binding of Isaac, so I can actually play it on the console. I also got Mortal Kombat on there. I am also now going to play Fortnite as I roll my eyes, because
I mean, look,
you know,
some people like it. I mean, you might like it. It's
possible. Get a dance. Like what? No one can see this, but Q's doing it.
Well,
no one can see this, but Q's doing
it.
Right now.
We didn't mention this the last episode, but they're getting sued.
Yeah, for the Carlton dance. Get the fuck over yourself.
Well, no.
Yes, he is. He's the one suing them.
No, he is not. But what I'm saying is, like, don't completely throw that out, because you remember, like, a lot of these dances, like, a lot of these people, like, created these dances for their own videos and for their own stuff like that.
And then
and these people, they just put it on there without any monetary compensation.
Okay, but oh my God, I hate this world lately.
Does he have a trademark?
Guess what? Worst part of 2000.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Guys, if you heard a weird cut in this episode, it's because we got into a very heated conversation about the lawsuit between Fortnite and Carlton. We've decided to take that chunk of delicious, delicious banter out of this particular best of 2018, best and worst of 2018, because it didn't have anything to do with our topic. But you can catch it on our Patreon first. We've decided to give that
you
little
bastard.
Snippet.
It was a surprise. Yeah, I didn't know
it was going there.
Discussion. But again, if you are in, if you are illegal and you are a illegal person and you are in our Patreon,
Chad, basically, to you.
Yeah, let us know what you know, and we could talk about that off.
But now to bring us back to the topic at hand, Kenny does now have a gaming system, so he'll be up to date with more video games and things. This is now a house that has all gaming systems with the exception of the Nintendo Switch.
Which I have your Switch.
You do have.
So that means
Switch.
You have Diablo as well then, sir.
I got Diablo. I'll do a couple more positives before I switch to the negatives. I got Diablo, which runs like a fucking dream. It runs so fucking well on the Switch, which, I mean, the game's kind of old at this point, so it would be weird for it to not run well, but
it
it looks great. I've been playing it on the bigger screen just because I haven't actually had a ton of time off a big screen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really like it. I got Dark Souls also. So my first Souls.
That's always nice. Oh, you got the this is your first time playing?
Okay, so technically I've played well, not technically. I did play Bloodborne for a little bit, but I just wasn't in the right headspace for it. Like it's very difficult. I think I'm finally in the right headspace for this one. Now this game is supposed to be harder than Bloodborne.
It is.
But it's on the go, which makes a huge difference for being able to play this anywhere I want. And it runs solidly enough, runs up about 30 frames a second. So it's not like as smooth as the original, but it runs well enough for me. And I can't wait to kind of delve bigger in that.
Sweet.
But for me, the big negative for me this year in games, and there were a couple, some studios closed, a bunch of big game companies being dicks.
Yep.
Kind of one of the biggest ones for me is the PlayStation Classic kind of sucking. It's sucking so bad that they dropped the price of it already.
Really?
They dropped it to $60.
How bad? Why is it so bad, though?
So Sony. So apparently they were only given 6 months to get it together. So they only had 6 months to program it and to get the licensing, which is why the licensing is so weird with it. The emulator they're using sucks. So they're using a freeware emulator that's not even properly tailored to the tech that's inside of it. The tech that's inside of it is good enough to run PlayStation games if you have the right emulator. Also, a bunch of the games run in PAL, not in NTSC, because they run at a lower frame rate.
Oh, that's great. So it's going to suck.
So everything runs like shit. And not everything. A bunch of them do.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Also, you can still hack it. They've already figured out how to hack it fairly well. So I'm going to eventually...
How viable is it just to get it stock? Like what
it's available right now.
No, but what I'm saying is like... to you, somebody who doesn't know how to hack, they just get it and they go, is it worth it just
it's not worth it.
Here's the thing. I never thought it was worth it. And I'm a Sony girl. Mm-hmm. And I never thought it was worth it because Sony was always different from every other console in the sense that when you started to get PlayStation 2s, you were still able to play PS1 games. So it was less necessity to get this emulator. When you have Nintendo, Super Nintendo game, those things came out and you couldn't play the same games before. I think the only one that you were able to do was your N64 and your GameCube.
Nope.
No?
You were able to do GameCube on the Wii.
On the Wii.
Yeah.
That's
and then
the one.
Wii on the Wii U.
Wii U. Right. But that was much later on. Yes. From the beginning of Sony, you were always able to carry over the CDs onto the next
console.
Backwards
compatible,
the first part of PS3 is you had PS2 and PS1.
And PS1. So it was, in theory, had I kept my PS3, which I have somewhere, I would have just been able to still play the same games that are coming out. I still own my PS. I still own my PlayStation. So if I really wanted to play fucking Crash Bandicoot, I can. It's also been on PS Now. Like, so why am I?
It's a little weirder. If you think you're collecting a bunch of games on it, and I can see why if they're good games, like I can see that being well. Now, for me, from the beginning, as we mentioned, like when it was first announced, this is just good for me as somebody who wants to just hack it and just basically use it as a preservation system to be able to find the games that I want to play if I ever feel like it. I have a little device that I can plug in.
Right.
Yes, I can make a Raspberry Pi, yada, yada, yada. I want a cute little PlayStation.
Yeah, no. And I agree with you on that aspect. Yeah. But I always thought that it was a little weird because I was like, I literally just played Crash Bandicoot the other day on my PS4. Why am I caring this much? Like, I understood the Nintendo SNES when it came out.
Because it's a lot older.
It's a lot older, and those games didn't carry over. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a little bit different. So I understood that. But now, and that's me as a Sony girl. I've never owned an Xbox. Never cared for it. And I only had Nintendo's for the wife, because after I got a Sony, I was like, why did I ever play anything else? This is the way that I want to go. So I didn't care for it. Won't get it. Not a big deal. Yeah. But, gaming-wise, I'm hoping for 2019 that I will get back into comic books because I can't even tell you what's good or bad of 2018 for comic books because what I had read this year was all old stuff you gave me. So I'm hoping my goal for 2019 is to balance my work life and my personal life better. I did better this year, but I want to get even – I want to reach more the 50-50 where before it was always like 90-10 work and 10 personal. Every year I've I've fixed that, and I think that this year I was at a good
70-30.
Yeah, I was at a good 70-30.
You definitely weren't 60-40, but you were
70-30. I want to get to 50-50, and I don't think that I won't be able to do that all 2019, but 60-40 would be a really good place for me
to
be.
That's 10% more? That's 10% more?
Yeah, I think that that would make it a little bit easier for me to do all the things that I want to do. One of my goals is to say no more.
Yes.
Which is very important for a person like me. When I never say no, even when I don't want to, I still say yes. So I'm learning. I'm trying to focus more on saying no so that I can read the comic book you gave me, read the thing I have. Like, I have all of these things around me that I don't
pull your attention.
That pull my attention. And I want to be able to have more me time, which also allows me to have more stuff to talk about on our podcast, because mm-hmm. if I'm not reading and I'm not playing video games, we can only talk about Netflix so much before I'm all tapped out. My worst things of 2018 or biggest disappointments of 2018, I can't say that I had a lot. Ready Player One wasn't the movie I thought it was going to be. Still not bad, but it wasn't
not
what
great.
I had originally. Wasn't great. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. We lost Stan Lee, and in the geek world, that is huge.
That hurt.
That was something really big that hurt. I know that there was a lot of other losses that we had this year, but that is a big one for the geek world, and just happened recently as well. I will have to say also fandom and over opinions in 2018 have been rampant.
Ooh.
And I'm one of them. I know that I give my opinions for a lot of things.
Yeah, but you're not a fucking an asshole.
No, and I got
it.
Better on Facebook. There was two good years where I was very, very vague booking and going a little hard on being very, very vocal on Facebook with everything. and I've simmered that down some. I think it was really because I just became a gym brat, and now all I did was gym selfies. And
you replace your vague booking, you're like, nah, I'm talking about the gym.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I want to enjoy things more. I want, and honestly, let's not lie. 2019 looks like it's going to be an epic year for geek movies.
I'm hoping everything. So. Fingers crossed.
Well, I mean,
do not want
Toy
it to
Story
be a huge
4,
crash landing.
Fucking, we have Marvel, Annihilation is coming out. Like, with that, Captain Marvel. Like, there are.
Give me my Marvel now.
Like, literally, there's so much that's going on that I know all the trolls and the gatekeepers will come out to play.
But they always are going to come
out
to play. That's sad.
Personal geek moments that are my best. D&D Dungeons and Dragons this year has been fucking amazing, and is really, really,
very
really just
so.
Given me a. I mean, even my book club book is now a Dungeons and Dragons Forgotten Realm a book that I want to read. It's really allowed me to dive into that world a lot more, and really enjoyed it. So it's given me a love for something that I didn't think I was gonna have a love for as hard as I have it for here. I have been able to see a lot more TV and a lot more TV shows and focused on that and reading. So I had a lot of good things. So next year my goal is up my comic book reading, and up my video game playing and into that. And other than that, it hasn't been that shitty of a year. Could have been worse. Could have been 2016.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nothing. 2016 is the bar. But yeah, 2018 for me was a year of personal growth. Did a lot of growing. Became a grown ass man instead of man child. And
oh, you still man child.
I'm man child in different ways.
Yeah.
You
adult, but you still.
I still got the man child brain kind of floating behind the adult body. But yeah, I'm. I think 2019. I'm going to be positive because let me tell you, 2017 sucked also.
Yes, it did.
But it ended well for me, and 2018 has sucked in general, but, I mean, sucked for the world, but personally.
Sucked for the world.
For me, it's been
you're
good.
You're actually kind of right. 2016 I thought was bad, and 2017 was really shitty for me
all
across the board.
Yeah.
And then 2018 started really great, and then it was really bumpy in the middle, and now it's kind of like, okay, all right. I can do this. Yeah.
Even.
I feel like my ratios were correct this year. It was like, you had a really good 3 months. We're going to give you a little shitty 2 months, great 2 months, shitty 2 months, great 2 months. Like, that's kind of like how it's turned out. Yeah, yeah. Where 2017 was just like, I'm going to ram you to hell.
Well, what happened was like you dropped really hard in the beginning, and for some reason, kept accelerating into the ground.
Yes.
Somehow, like, you somehow went faster underground, which is like, I did not know that was possible.
It was just
that is
trite.
The barometer. If anything is better than 2017, you're okay.
Yeah, I think so. Kenny, how about you?
Honestly, the one of the worst things in general is just looking at these games is incomplete gaming. I hate these incomplete games. I hate the fact that they care so little about the actual gamers that they'll go, I'll give you 30% of the game and you get to pay for the rest of it because you're going to pay for it. And I hate that because one of the big ones was Street Fighter is always was notorious for that lately.
Well, I mean, the difference was is that that game was complete when it came out. They've just been adding more characters over time. So like that one, the structure of fighting games is a little bit different where you can get away with that as long as you have a big enough roster to start off with. It didn't have a big enough to start off with, but once they got to once they put out Arcade Edition, that game was actually like, okay, it's worth buying.
And the thing is that it's just like those boxes that they get from, it's not only from Overwatch, from Fortnite, all of these.
Everything.
And I know we talked about this before, but it's so huge. Like, it's gotten, like, it's, we were hoping that it would die down, and no, it just kept accelerating. It's not a fad anymore.
We're in the post EA getting fucking rammed for their loot boxes for Battlefront 2. So things are not this year. They've gotten better, if just because they've adjusted the balance in games. So like at the very least, doesn't take as much to get what you want. But that's only temporary.
Yeah, but I really wish, and I understand people need to make money, but they're already making money. So for them to want to then add that on top of, oh, okay, I know that back in the day, all you had to do is just grind and you'll get what you want. Now it's, okay, then it was, you can grind, and then but you could pay for it to get it faster, and now it's, you got to pay for it.
There's more money. We can take more money from you. Like, no, we're going to take every fucking cent. Yeah. Give us your cents. Give us every single dollar.
That's why I'm going into board games. But that's
which I don't know if you noticed, but I did not buy the Call of Duty game.
Yeah, I noticed. Ah. That's big for you. Well, they also didn't include a fucking single player, so
No, they didn't.
Which for me, I give three flying fucks about. That's never what I played COD for. I played COD for the multiplayer. So I was like, when somebody told me they're like, oh, there's no first player, I was just like no single story, I was like, that's not what I play that game for. I play that game to yell at other people and to get out my aggression. But I'm not doing it this time. I will not buy into this, and I already know that it wasn't.
That's bad when you, out of all people, if you're not getting that. You've been really loyal with that series
I have been, and I will probably try it out, but I would rather first try somebody else's game and see how it plays. I've played every single Call of Duty that has ever come out, bought it, and I still own the best ones yet, and people still play them. So if I really have an itch to play Call of Duty, I can still throw in all the ones that I have, and there will be people playing them.
They keep healthy. It's so weird with how Call of Duty works is that maybe not some of the ones from, like, probably Call of Duty Ghost is dead. I imagine.
That was also a bad one.
But, like, from the last two or three years, like, I would even say Advanced Warfare still has people playing.
Yeah, definitely. Modern Warfare 2 still has people playing
Jesus
it
Christ. I figured they would have killed the servers a long time ago.
And
but
Black Ops 2.
Black Ops 2, yeah. I remember how popular that
people,
was.
And that one is still,
people are still playing
that
it.
One,
playing people
that
are still
one.
Playing
but
it.
But what also I think benefits that is that you have two companies that go one and one.
Different fields.
Which is different fields, which allows that capability to happen. But
Modern Warfare.
I can't get involved in that. Yeah, I was happy when I opened up my Witcher and it said all DLC is included in this game. And
well,
I was like,
fuck yes. You're getting the best version of that because Witcher was a fucking mess when it came. Well, it wasn't that it was a mess. It's just that that's a developer that designed those games around PCs. And this is one of the first times that they launched on all consoles and PC. So they were like, we have to figure some things out. And the version you're getting has all the DLC and all of the fixes. So mm-hmm. you're getting prime experience.
But that's something that I want to do for 2019 is actually get into more, because I know that we do Crit or Die in our, and I know that we focused heavily on board games, but we also have to start bringing in more and more for the actual video gaming, even if it's not just Xbox One, PS4, Even PC cons, even PC.
Yeah, I mean, I play as much indie bullshit as I can afford, and I have the time for. So,
yeah.
If you ever have any questions about cool, like at the very least, you said that you're gonna try out Life is Strange. So
oh yeah,
that's
something I want to talk about for sure.
So
yeah, fun times, guys.
Thank you guys for listening, for sticking around for the entire 2018 year. We're gonna be bringing you more geeky goodness in 2019. Some changes have already started to roll out with the format of our podcast. Our intro has changed. If you head over to our Patreon now, we have more things to offer you, more tangible physical items. We have a Brunches and Dragons notebook, we've got bracelets, we've got keychains that we're going to be getting, we've got shirts that we're going to have as well. So you check out the tiers and you will get a beautiful little perk in your inbox or your mail, or depending on your tier.
And if you want it, just let me know and I'll dip my boys in it just for you.
Look, there you go.
Oh man, bam, we waited until the very end for that.
I know. Well, that's all the loyal listeners.
Yeah,
we'll
the loyal listeners have waited
my
until
balls
this moment.
May be on the things that you want.
Yeah. So make sure you check out Patreon. You don't need to subscribe forever, even if you just want to give for a month. I personally, for the month of January, decided to do a Patreon for Patreon. And I actually also decided to change up how I support my friends and support things. So I actually dropped all the podcasts that I was originally a Patreon for, because these podcasts, yes, I support them still because I listen to their content. But these podcasts are making $20,000 a month on Patreon.
They're fine.
They're okay.
They'll be okay without your money.
And so instead, I vowed to keep the same budget that I was already spending on Patreon, which is what I have already allotted for, and only add people in South Miami artists, South Florida podcasts. And if you
support local.
And if you have a Patreon and you are also supporting the Talking Geek Patreon, then I've also added you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a Patreon for Patreon. So if you're listening to this podcast and you do have a Patreon, hit me up on Instagram with what it is at Qception, and I'll check it out and I will add you for at least definitely the month of January. If I dig your shit, then I'll keep going. But that's my goal. My goal this year is also to do what everybody's doing with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, but me do it with my own people and support my local podcast people that I love and artists that I love. So if you're listening still, please make sure you check out Citizens of Multiple Earths. They also have a Patreon and they are a South Florida podcast, strictly comic books. All they talk about is comic books. You can also check out, you probably don't know her, but check out Jenny Lorenzo. I also definitely support Jenny Lorenzo.
She's
please,
fucking great.
If you've ever seen a video of an abuela in Miami, that's Jenny Lorenzo. And she used to be on Geekgasm, which was part of Aggressive Comics. So she is a geek. She does amazing, amazing stuff. So you can check her out. I follow her Patreon and a few other artists. Wafflesworth, who's a great, great artist, painter and artist. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. You can follow me forever and ever at Qception on Instagram.
Yeah, and I guess my goal for 2019 is actually to be more creative and get back. I've definitely dipped back in the last couple of years of just kind of just only gaming, only absorbing media and not like creating anything.
I want a radio play on the Talking Geek, you son of a bitch.
I have one. I would like to actually finish it. I wrote the first episode for it and I was very displeased with it, but I think I have enough separation from that I think. And also, I've listened to a bunch of other radio plays or like radio play type podcasts, and I was trying to stick to a format, like a television format, and I realized like, oh wait, the wonder of fucking being on a podcast is I can do whatever the fuck I want. Oh, I don't have to have every episode be 30 minutes. I can have a 22 minute, I can have a 25, I can have a 15 minute episode.
Yeah, matters not.
No. As long as the story gets moved forward. So kind of being invigorated by knowing that I had things stopping me, and then kind of seeing other people breaking that, like makes me realize like, oh wait, no, I literally can just do whatever the fuck I want. That's a very freeing kind
of
feeling.
Yes, it is.
Also, to write again, see if I could get some gigs writing, because I enjoy it. I do rail at the issues with fandom and, you know, comment sections as that, because like when I blogged, I definitely had a lot of problems with that, of just people being really fucking shitty. Mm-hmm. And it's just annoying to me because, like, if somebody talks shit about me, like, I don't fucking care. Like, what do I care about you? But, like, it's annoying to put in the work for something, and I'm like, motherfucker, really? That's what you're going to nitpick on? But I really shouldn't let that like get in the way of doing something that I enjoy and not talking about. I actually felt like a lot of the stuff I wrote for Talking Geek,
which is great.
I enjoyed writing that, and if anything, I got to talk about the shit that I loved in a way to express my passions.
Yeah,
you know, so you guys can learn about that. So my goal is to do that. Unfortunately, I'm still broke, so I can't really support that many Patreons. But I feel that at least if I'm creating, I'm helping in some way. Yeah. So that's my goal.
Definitely.
And awesome. You can follow me on Twitter at oh my god, I almost forgot my own Twitter name. Okay. It is Pedro Cortez Get, Cortez with an S. Sorry, I'm sort of fusing all of my different social media accounts in my head at once. You can look at my old videos at youtube.com/PedroGCortez. I would like to kind of do some of that stuff, but that stuff's way more time intensive. I'll see if maybe I can crack maybe one or two of those in the year. And you can follow me on Instagram at Gurren Lagann, like the robot anime.
Yep.
Sweet. Well, for 2019, honestly, what I want to do is, because what I actually had fun when you were talking about blogs is actually writing about Game of Thrones. And I know that this is going to be bittersweet because this coming year is going to be the last season. So I want to make sure that I give it all for that. And hopefully for I used to also like it for Walking Dead. And then I just didn't. When you stop and then you don't think about it.
Yeah, you don't go back.
You don't go back to it. And then, but honestly, with that, as well as any of the new board games now that I've been getting to, I want to actually push and, you know, actually see about finish designing the one that I have. That is based off of Dungeons and Dragons.
That should be your goal for your 2019 year goal is by the end of 2019, you finish your board game.
At least a prototype.
That's what I mean. Like finish. Finish your prototype.
The thing is that I have a very, very raw prototype that I need to start fleshing out. So yeah,
that's your goal.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Mr_under_score, or you can find me on Twitter at Mr. MR_.
Guys, thank you for listening to the Talking Geek. As always, you want to know what you could do for the new year? You can share our podcast with your people and see if maybe they like our bullshit as much as you like our bullshit. I know there's one of you that's listening to our episodes that you said something about the fact that we are in your top 5 podcasts, and that is amazing. As a matter of fact, if you are that person, and I can confirm this, email us because we might have some goods for you. I can confirm, so don't be a douche and be like, that was me, when it wasn't you.
I know it wasn't you.
I have ways of confirming
There's
this information.
One of you.
But as always, guys, make sure you check out geekbro.net for all kinds of podcasts. And thank you for following us. You can follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and Patreon at The Talking Geek. Stay geeky. Hands up!